Warning, this episode is not for children, nor for the faint of heart. We discuss adult topics with words that are not appropriate for little ears. Thank you for protecting their innocence.
This is the Innocent Wolf Podcast, number 3. EMJ and the Vorace Debacle. Many Catholics have already heard about Michael Vorace's departure from church militant. Apparently it was on moral grounds, and considering that he himself acknowledged having lived a life of sodomy before, it appears as though he may have returned to it if he ever actually left it in the first place. Now, my observation, church militant is one of those things that people say, well, they do necessary work, in kind of the same way that people used to semi-regretfully say that every town needs a back alley abortion doctor. Before we get too deep, let's define a few terms. A sodomite is someone who engages in sodomy. What is sodomy? Engaging in intimate physical touch with someone of the same sex. This includes genital activity, but also things like snuggling, cuddling, kissing, long embraces, stuff like that. These are all unnatural acts, either because they are improper use of the body, I'm not going to describe all those things, but it's improper use, or they are actions that are not improper use, but they're with people of the same sex, which is disordered. It is contrary to the natural order of things, or both. So, two grown men cuddling. That is not rightly ordered. That is a disordered thing. It's not an improper behavior if it were husband and wife or a father with his young child son who dads and boys snuggle, and that's an okay thing. But two grown men who are not related, that's weird. So that would be something that is disordered because of who you're doing it with. Now, a homosexual, what is a homosexual? A homosexual is someone who experiences a homosexual attraction, that is, attraction to members of the same sex. A homosexual may or may not have a history of sodomy. There are a lot of homosexuals who do not, nor have not, ever engaged in sodomy. So any of those acts with another human being. And they use pornography and masturbation very often. But at least in my experience working with people of that population, there is a significant difference between the person who has acted out with another human and the person who has not. Next, an ex-gay is someone who lived publicly the gay lifestyle, then claims to have left. This is a subjective term, something that you would self-identify as. I self-identify as an ex-gay, but it's not really a statement of truth. It's a category of the mind, not a category of reality, because it's not a statement of whether or not they have left. It just means they're trying to live a life of celibacy, but only time will tell if that is in fact true. So I guess you could become an ex-gay if you fell off the wagon and committed sodomy again. Anyways, so that's an ex-gay. I don't know that we're going to actually talk much about ex-gays, but there it is. So people trying to force you into or out of certain terminologies just makes the whole thing a giant mess. So for the sake of today, we will call people who experience same-sex attraction homosexuals, and people who commit sodomy, sodomites. Homosexuals was a term that Joseph Nicolosi used with great regularity, talking about people who have same-sex attraction, not necessarily for those people who lived the gay lifestyle or committed those acts. So good enough for Joseph Nicolosi, good enough for me. All right. So it's not uncommon for Catholic men who used to perform sodomy to have a long period of celibacy and then return to sodomy, what is often called a relapse. And it appears that maybe this is what happened with Michael Vorace, that he experienced a long period of celibacy and then kind of fell back into it, or totally fell back into it. We don't know. There have been no details given. There have been allusions to it, but we'll just leave that there. So many times, these men take the successful period of celibacy as being healed. Oh, that was my old self. I'm an ex-gay. The problem is the underlying wounds have not been healed in many cases. These people still long for the approval, affection, and attention they lacked in childhood, and they seek out ways for receiving it. Basically, things like they join a theater, they take teaching jobs, or they join the priesthood. They become public speakers or content creators, leaders or members or speakers of Catholic ex-gay organizations to get that attention of being special, being not like the others. Look, well, no, I'm a Catholic ex-gay, or I'm an ex-gay Catholic, or even some reach for the silliness of calling themselves gay Catholics, which is an absolute contradiction in terms. Gay is a political identity, and Catholic is a religious identity. Catholic is your ethnicity. I belong to the Catholic Church. You can't also be gay and be Catholic, because to say that you are gay is to say that you are a sodomite, and you can't be a Catholic sodomite. Being not like the others, they crave being the center of attention, and they feed off of it. This is narcissistic, meaning it's self-serving. They're doing it to fulfill themselves, not to help you. Why do we see so many gay teachers? Because they get to have unending admiration of children who are naive and impressionable. They get to be the fun teacher, or the cool teacher, or the teacher that tells them secrets. And there's no fear of rejection. By definition, children lack experience and education and knowledge, and so they are impressionable. They have no ability to say, that teacher is a weirdo, that's not okay for them to talk to me like that, to treat me like that, to tell me secrets, and I feel excited when they're treating me so special, but that's not right, and I'm not going to participate in that. Children are naive and impressionable. The teacher has no fear of rejection, because you can get a child to like you if you know what you're doing. And they're not giving these children what the children need. They're taking from the children what the teacher needs. The teacher wants this admiration, and so they're taking from the children. The children should be given lessons, given an education, given what is good for them, not used for the narcissistic supply of the teacher. Inside every homosexual male is a little boy with crushing inferiority. The homosexual male does not see himself as a regular man, as a normal man. He sees himself as something different. Men are the other. His identity is broken. You can have a masculine-looking man like Voris, but his need to dominate those who disagree with him is evidence of unresolved woundedness, that infantile narcissism. He's 62 and still reacts with this strong emotional reaction that is not befitting of a 62-year-old man. You see the same with Milo. It seems Milo never takes a punch without responding in a way that makes him appear dominant by tearing the other down. Or he'll use a Jade's trick to land the last punch and then declare the game over before his critic has a chance to strike another blow. This is evidence of unhealed wounds, tremendous insecurity. Healthy men don't have to answer every criticism, every punch. They're secure enough in themselves that the disagreements of others have little impact. Others are free to have their opinions and even to have their emotional outbursts, but the mature and healthy man is okay with that. So E. Michael Jones gave his take on the recent Michael Voris debacle, describing homosexuality as having a deeply deranging effect on the human soul that prevents them from becoming a priest or a spokesman for the Catholic Church without episcopal control. One of the commenters asked, is it the orientation or the action itself that disqualifies men from being priests? To which Jones responded, you don't have the proper orientation to be a father to a spiritual flock. You don't have something, but you should have it. It's the orientation that makes you defective. But Jones is right, that homosexuals, especially those who have sodomy in their past, have no business in positions of leadership of anything, especially in the Catholic Church. It doesn't matter if it's Pete Buttigieg, Michael Voris, Richard Grinnell, Milo Yiannopoulos, I know I can't say his name right, or Janet Smith. We'll talk about women another time, but it's kind of the same underlying stuff. A person with homosexual attractions is psychologically and emotionally defective. They are wounded in such a way they did not receive that psychological and emotional nurturing, nutrition, what they needed, to such a degree that these things are manifest in their minds and their emotions, and it's detrimental to their performance in certain capacities. So the big question is, why are they unfit to be in positions of leadership? You have to understand the root causes of homosexuality. The classic example is the emotionally disconnected dad and the emotionally overbearing mother, and temperamentally emotionally sensitive child. So that's three things. Emotionally disconnected dad, overbearing mom, temperamentally emotionally sensitive child. For a position of leadership, you need someone who's going to do what is right for the mission of the organization, someone who can act despite his feelings. In other words, their emotions and appetites are in proper order to the intellect and will. A homosexual has more emotionally sensitive temperament already, plus the wounds in childhood of the father who is either strong but wicked, or good but weak, or just gone completely, and the mother who didn't have healthy emotional boundaries with her son. She either used the son as a replacement husband because she's unsatisfied in her marriage, which is a common occurrence, or she would emasculate the son, destroy his masculinity, look down upon dad's masculinity, treated masculinity as if it were a bad thing, and vowed to raise her son right, to be different than his father. But a woman can't raise a son to be a man. She lacks masculinity, and her efforts are narcissistic. She's looking to take from her son to make herself feel better. So this boy ages, and he wants to become a priest. Why can't homosexual males become priests? Well, a priest is a father, and to be a father, you must first be a man. The homosexual male self-identifies as something other than a normal man. Milo presents himself as something other than a man because he feels outside, disconnected from true masculinity. That's why the Louis Vuitton, the over-the-top personality, the ridiculous clothing. Milo is a fabrication, a sort of gay Alice Cooper. And I bet you $100 if he heard that description, he would respond with humor, self-deprecating, or a Jade's trick to assert his dominance against the sting of inferiority. All right, I have no hate for Milo. God bless him. I hope he is successfully chased for the rest of his life, and he finds peace and healing that he needs. I'm simply using this as an illustration because he's a very public figure, and the characteristics of his life, his affect, his personality are very easy to see, easy to describe. So a man with an identity of inferiority cannot be a priest. The root of homosexuality is crushing inferiority, and how is that man going to lead other men to whom he feels inferior? He can't. Additionally, homosexual attraction is cannibalistic. It seeks to consume the other for its own gratification, even if the other is unwilling or unknowing. Imagine your homosexual priest walking around looking at other men's crotches all day to see how he compares in masculinity based on the size of his penis. That man cannot possibly perform as a priest, and he imperils his soul and the souls of those in his care by ascending to the priesthood. Many of these men join the seminary because they have no direction. If they lack an identity and somebody offers them an identity, they lack the prudence and right judgment to be able to say, no, that's not a good fit for me. They say, oh, somebody says that I'd make a good priest. Okay, I'll go become a priest. They don't see their blind spots. They don't even know that this is a bad fit. So they join the seminary either for lack of direction or as a cope. The priest is superior over the whole congregation and gets to be the center of attention every single day, a magic pill against that crushing inferiority. It's the first time in his life that he's been part of the group, and they still feel that inferiority. They feel connection with others, which is great. They have kind men paying them attention and approval, sometimes even a pat on the back or a hug. But the homosexual attraction does not diminish. Maybe they achieve a year of celibacy toward the end of seminary, and they tell their formators that they don't have same-sex attraction, or that's in the past, or I don't have that anymore, and then they get ordained. These men are in denial, and they imperil themselves and the souls of the people in their care. They have no business being priests. So what is a homosexual to do? Well, there are about 10,000 other jobs that a homosexual can do that does not involve taking the spotlight, putting yourself in positions of leadership over others, especially in the Catholic Church. Pick one. Nobody has a right to be the leader of a Catholic organization, nor a right to be a priest, nor a right to be a teacher. The common good of society and the church is at stake and cannot be sacrificed to avoid hurting the feelings of a homosexual. A response in these moments must be a firm no. So what do we do with all the homosexuals that are already ordained priests? Send them to live in monasteries and assign them two monks to minister to them for the rest of their lives, so they can work out their eternal salvation.
You have been listening to the Innocent Wolf podcast. If you found something of value, please rate and share this episode with a loved one. And remember, keep a prayer on your lips and your head on a swivel. In secula seculorum. Amen.